the Blue Fairy turned us into a real book club for one episode every year, where we all read and discuss one book instead of a genre.
If only we could take our love of reading to a new level.
Well, I've always wanted to start a book club.
Book club!
For masochists and other deviants.
Hello and welcome to the Book Club for Masochists, where we read and discuss all the genres and types of literature, regardless of our actual interest in them.
Every month, we read books from a new, randomly picked genre. Then on the podcast, we discuss our reading choices, experiences, opinions, appeal factors, and other related topics as friends and library workers.
This is episode number 179, and we are doing our book pitches for the One Book, One Podcast, as we are now calling it, episode.
Only took us 4 or 5 years to get here, to get a good name for it.
About right.
I liked Battle of the Books. So yeah, I feel like Battle of the Books was one of our previous candidates. Mm-hmm.
Well, first we battle, and then we won Podcast One Book.
It's true.
This is the battle, and then the other.
This is the battle.
That works.
Okay. I was going to say, let's all pitch a name for this episode and then we'll let the listeners vote on which one they like.
No, that's not how this works.
It's the wrong voting aspect of the episode.
Too meta. Okay. My name is Jam. I'm a librarian in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, which is located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Stolo people.
My name is Matthew. I'm a librarian in Fort Collins, Colorado, United States of America.
My name is Anna. I'm also located in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is on the traditional and ancestral homelands of the Arapaho, Cheyenne, and Ute nations and peoples.
My name is Megan. I'm an archivist in the National Capital Region of Canada. I live and work on the unceded traditional territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe.
Announcements!
There's a book list for this episode, as with all of our episodes in the last few years. In the show notes, you will find a book list, since this is not a genre episode, since this is not exactly off format. But yeah, if we're not talking about a specific genre, the book list for this episode is instead going to be a retrospective book list for a genre we covered in the past. One of my first episodes with the program, comedic sci-fi and fantasy. So it is a book list specifically of titles in that genre by BIPOC authors, Black, Indigenous, and People of Color authors. So if you are interested in finding some titles by BIPOC authors in the comedic sci-fi and fantasy realm, check the show notes or our website, bookclubfrem.com.
Great. Announcement two, the point of this episode is that we all pitch books that battle. And by battling, I mean you vote for them. So in the show
notes, did I need to provide weapons for my books? I did not consider this.
I have a trident.
My book has a gun.
What?
Oh.
No.
I mean, I didn't. I'm just sorry. Just based on the genre that it is, it definitely has one.
So anyway, in the show notes and on our Facebook group and in places like that, you will find a link to where you can vote for which of these books you would like us all to read. That's the point. We suggest a book, we talk about why we should all read it, and then you, our listeners, get to vote for which one it will be.
Does a trowel count as a weapon? I think my book might have that.
If you hold it, right?
Yeah.
Anna, mm-hmm. your weapon is just poison. Like,
oh, that's actually true. I could do that.
I now wish I had a thematic weapon. I did not say something thematic. So, like, I don't know, like, it's a giant stone head, I think, is my weapon.
I'm reconsidering my shortlist based on how...
what it can bring to the fight.
One of the books on your list is, the title is literally a weapon.
Yes, I know.
So this is the...
Wait, can we do one more announcement?
Sure.
Last announcement, if you did not listen to the post-outro credits portion of the previous episode, you should probably go do so. It's worthwhile. Just giving a little pitch towards something Matthew did.
The aliens and sci-fi? No, the aliens and UFO nonfiction episode.
Yep.
Yeah, after the outro, where we say the same things every episode, after that, there's a secret bonus thing.
A little treat.
So this is the fifth time we've done this, where we've been a real book club. the Blue Fairy turned us into a real book club for one episode every year, where we all read and discuss the same one book instead of a genre. And we've read a bunch of different stuff in the past, and it's been fun. And it's always like, it's an interesting, it's a very different type of discussion, I feel, and it's interesting. Do we want to say what books we're each suggesting and then do them, or how would we like to do this? We clearly, at this point, you'd think we'd know what we're doing, but yet, and yet.
Do we want to review books we've read in previous years first? Do we remember?
No.
Piranesi, it was good.
Oh yeah, Piranesi was good.
Yeah.
Piranesi was great.
The Circumnavigation of Fairyland mm-hmm. was also good. Mm-hmm.
That was the first one. We did the Pain one last year, the nonfiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never got that hot sauce.
So. Oh.
Disappeared in the mail.
Yep.
Damn.
Sorry, everybody.
Shame.
And then I'm forgetting the name of the one. Pet.
And we did one more, right? The N.K. Jemisin book.
Oh, yeah.
So, as you can see, heavy bias towards fantasy novels. Heavy bias towards fantasy novels. I think 4 of the 5 were about fantasy. Were fantasy. And then the other one was pain. So, who's got a fantasy novel this year that we're going to read?
Nope. I'm still on my endless nonfiction kick, so.
It's up to our listeners.
I'm gonna pitch something fantasy-esque.
Ooh.
And to be fair, most of my shortlist was fantasy-esque. One of the things that did pull us to the front of the running, it was a shorter book, which I feel is easier to fit around the rest of the reading we tend to pack into our lives. This one is called Spear. So it's the weapon book. It's by Nicola Griffith. It's a 2022 publication. And the pitch is basically, this is a retelling of, it's Percival and the Holy Grail, only it's gender bent. And I heard about it first on the Cood Street podcast, which I mentioned last episode. And so I borrowed it and my partner read it and then it had to go back to the library. So this is my attempt to, get another shot at reading it. But also because I've heard a lot of really great things about it at this point. So I think it would be a fun read. It would fit in with a lot of our interests. And it's shorter, which helps. Yay, Arthurian mythology.
Helps us. May not help the listeners, but it definitely helps us.
Well, I don't know who Percival is. So it doesn't help me that much. Like, he's a knight?
Well, think Arthurian legend.
Sure.
Right?
So what gender is the chalice now? You said it was gender bent?
The characters, not the objects. I'm not sure how you would gender bend objects.
Megan, you speak French.
But we are conversing in English, which is it's a very neutral language. Question. At least the table is not explicitly female.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. If only one of us had a book about gender that we could then go into, that would be such a good segue. No?
Do we? I mean, mine's kind of about gender.
More than mine is. I think Anna's is definitely not about gender.
I am going to mention a few of my runners up because I don't have many of them. I thought about doing a nonfiction book. I put my list together pretty kind of slapdash this year where I just looked at my to read list and was like, yeah, these four look like good ones to read together. The winning one is a special case. I thought about How Far the Light Reaches, A Life in 10 Sea Creatures, which is a autobiography through the frame of like the lives of different sea creatures. Let me grab the author of this book.
While you're doing that, I'll mention the other conceits of this thing. None of us have read these books before. We have no familiarity with them. And so when we put together our long lists, which are, has anyone read these before? Are these even available where you live? Because we do live in different places. And so not all of these books are available in libraries or shops or whatever. And so that's how we get down to our short lists at first. Has anyone read this and is it available in libraries or stores?
Well, libraries. Well, if it's in like, I will tend to buy them, but we don't ask anybody in the group to purchase a copy. So we try to make sure that it's available.
Yep.
By library borrowing of some way.
Yes. So How Far the Light Reaches by Sabrina Imbler. I heard an interview with them on the Gender Reveal podcast, which I've mentioned many times. So it is a biography about a queer non-binary person of color in the like marine science field, like through the frame of these sea creatures.
It's definitely on my TBR.
Mm-hmm, yes, that was one where I was like, I think we would all like this. I think that one is my closest runner-up. I also, more quickly, I'll mention, had Trust Kids, Stories on Youth Autonomy and Confronting Adult Supremacy, which was my teen services librarianness jumping out, making us all read about youth autonomy. Legends and...
Terrible.
Are you anti-youth autonomy?
It's anti-youth, really, at this point. I'm old now. Yeah.
Oh, boy. I played D&D for 3 hours today.
With teenagers, specifically.
With teens, yes.
And got paid.
It's not a bad life. Legends and Lattes. This is the fantasy romance novel that I think had a lot of popularity in the last year. I mostly put it on my list because I'm a little surprised none of us had read it. And also because I got it for Christmas and own a copy that I've been meaning to read. The one that I'm ultimately going to pick is a special case. This is one that has been on my candidates list for as long as we've been doing this, except I think for the first year. But for years, I've had Upright Women Wanted by Sarah Gailey on my list for this episode of Pitches. And it is just shocking to me year after year that I put it on there and I'm like, maybe one of us read it this year. And year after year, none of us have read it. And I don't understand how. It is a sci-fi Western about librarians. how have we not read it? Just a clip from the summary on Goodreads. The future American Southwest is full of bandits, fascists, and queer librarian spies on horseback trying to do the right thing. They'll bring the fight to you. In Upright Women Wanted, award-winning author Sarah Gailey reinvents the pulp Western with an explicitly anti-fascist near-future story of queer identity. How have we not read it?
Also, how are none of us reading it right now for pulp?
Right. That's also true. Sorry, I just ruled it out as a candidate. The tagline on the back of the book is Fight the State, Be a Librarian. It's also only 170 pages long. It's a pretty short little novel, which is another appeal factor for reading it for this particular, format when we're going to be reading something else as well. When we read these real book club, or we should be reading our fake book club books at the same time we read this real book club book. Just to get it out there. Finally, I'm kind of hoping I win this year, but I mean, I'd be happy to read any of the books we pick. But if it doesn't win this year, I'm taking it off my list of possibilities. Upright Women Wanted by Sarah Gailey.
I very different track. I am still reading. My goal for the year was to read more nonfiction books. And I've been successful in this so far. I've finished way more nonfiction books than I usually read. For my own personal enjoyment. And it's been interesting to do that. And so my long list was all just nonfiction stuff. And the one I chose eventually was Free, A Child and a Country at the End of History by Leia. Oh my gosh, I practiced this 8 times. Leia Upi? It's about Albania. It's about Albania and the fall of communism and liberalism in the 90s. And I know very little about Albania. I know that it was this weird Stalinist holdout that kind of separated from every other country, that it lasted a little bit longer than some of the other communist countries, that they had their entire economy collapsed in the 90s, not later on due to a Ponzi scheme that the entire country was in on, basically. And that's about it. Even reading about this, I was like, there was a civil war in Albania? No idea. So I think that I find reading about former Soviet states really interesting, because I think it actually tells you a lot about capitalism and things like that. And it's been like kind of so long, honestly. We're quickly approaching the time when it's been longer since the fall of communism than a lot of these countries were communist in the first place. Like Albania was communist for 45 years, and it's now been 33 years since it stopped being communist. I just thought it was really interesting, but it talks about like the ways in which the West tried to turn it into a democracy, a capitalist democracy, and what freedom means, the different types of freedom that exist, which I thought was really interesting, is like how when we talk about the concepts like freedom, it's like we can mean very different things to each other. And that's something that I think is very obvious if you move to the USA, that what some people view as like freedom is what other people view as not freedom. So I thought this would be an interesting book to read. Also, just like I clearly have like an interest in like, you know, Eastern Europe, Balkan area, former Soviet states and everything. But very exciting side story. I studied Russian a long time ago. My Russian is basically non-existent at this point, but I can still read Cyrillic. Today at work, I got to find an article in Ukrainian that someone had requested that nobody else could find. And I was very proud of myself for being able to use my can read Cyrillic skills in order to find this article from 1928 that was written in Ukrainian. I don't speak any Ukrainian.
Hurrah!
So good job, me. Hooray. High fives.
Good job.
Applaud, please.
Like audibly applause? Because we were like...
No, I'm telling the listeners.
Okay. We were doing silent golf claps.
Yeah. No. The listeners need to applaud. They don't.
I would like the listeners, wherever you are right now, in public, in private, doesn't matter.
Just
take
one,
a
though.
Moment and do some applause.
No, just one.
Just one.
You know how some podcasts have like vocal mailboxes?
Yeah.
Just send a little clip of you audibly applauding Matthew's success.
Yeah, totally.
Please do not do that.
Okay. Well, thank you for mentioning capitalism because that gives me a transition. So my pick for this episode, continuing my always recommending and requesting to read more nonfiction, is The Mushroom at the End of the World on the Possibility of Life in Capitalist Ruins by Anna Lonhop Tsing. And she is an professor of anthropology and anthropologist based at the University of California, Santa Cruz. And this is a look at the... I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, but the Matsutake mushroom, which is considered the most valuable mushroom in the world. And it only grows in places that have been severely disturbed by human activities. So it is sort of a representation of what grows out of where we have disturbed things, but also because it is so valuable how we exploit the world and how we survive within the ruins of...
capitalism.
Yes, capitalism. Exactly. So these are written in very short chapters, and there's a bunch of images and pictures and things in here. But they're very short little essay chapters reflecting on aspects of it, everything from... the people who pick them to the people who sell them and trade and ecologists and just all aspects of the growth and management and sale and production and global system of how these mushrooms are treated by humans in the world. And it's a lot about like work and precarity. And it's a lot about climate change and how we're treating our lived spaces and how we're treating each other within our communal spaces. And I'm really fascinated to read our world from the perspective of of mushrooms. I was going to say fungi, but I'm not sure if people say fungi or fungi or like what? How do you pronounce that word?
I'm a fun guy.
fun guy.
That's right.
Okay, there we go. So yeah, that's my my pitch is for The Mushroom at the End of the World by Anand Singh. Also, I described this in our spreadsheet as capitalism, climate change, and mushrooms. And I was like, that's pretty much it. I don't know what else I need to say about that. Was basically it. That was the book pitch.
It's very funny because one of my long list was Entangled Life, How Fungi Make Our Worlds, Change Our Minds, and Shape Our Futures, which I assume is also probably about capitalism. I feel like probably most of our books are about capitalism somewhere or another. A lot of the other ones I had on my long list were about capitalism. Maybe all of them, actually, at least indirectly.
Well, I'm glad we've got two fun, shorter books and two dense, thinky books.
They are both under 300 pages.
Good.
Well, Anna's is slightly over that, but that's including like the notes. The notes and the index and everything. So there's less than 300 pages of content.
But not by much.
Yeah, look, don't.
I will admit.
Well, it depends how much the listenership wants to hear us suffer.
That's true. There are some pictures in here.
That's a blank page.
There's some blank pages.
Right. Those are easy.
You said there were pictures.
There's pictures as well, yes.
Look, I'm excited about the fact that it's the really short chapters thing, because actually that's been a thing recently in terms of reading nonfiction, is I'm actually having more trouble with like the chapters that go on for freaking ever, and will you just finish your thought, please, in my nonfiction books. And I am really enjoying these nonfiction books that have super short chapters, because I'm just like, oh, good, they finished their thought.
How many chapters are in that one?
Oh, I have no idea how many chapters does it say. I don't think they're numbered.
Oh, they're not numbered. Okay.
No, they are numbered. Okay, let's see. So there's 20 chapters plus an epilogue.
Okay. And probably an introduction.
Probably. Prologue.
Great. So, mushrooms, Albania, librarians, Arthurian legend. Yeah,
I was going to say spears, but Arthurian legend is more accurate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There'll be a link in the show notes for voting.
Do we want to do the part where we go around and say whose other book we would vote for?
I forgot we did that. That's a good idea.
So, not allowed to vote for our own. Which of the four? Which of the four would we choose? I guess which of the three besides our own?
I would pick Free, A Child and a Country at the End of History. Because
it's nonfiction.
Well, yes. I mean that. It's an influence on.
It's also, I will go and get the book, and so you don't have to do anything.
That's true. I don't have to do anything. It'll just show up in our house. But also, it does sound interesting, and I actually, for a lot of the same reasons that you brought up, of like, I don't really know much about Albania at all, and it would be, I think, really valuable for me to have more insight into that. And I feel like also, like, this is a moment in which better understanding all of those countries in that space in the world that was so heavily influenced by and controlled by the former Soviet Union, that, you know, I think that is worthwhile for me to understand more about right now. So that would be my reasoning.
I think I am going to choose Upright Woman Wanted, because I already have a mushroom book on my to read list for the year. And I don't know if I could deal with reading two.
Yeah, fair.
But also, like, you know, weird pulp Western thing about librarians. Like, that seems like it's in my wheelhouse. And I think, honestly, at the very least, even if we all hate it, we can discuss the librarian aspect of the book. So we can just nitpick everything they get wrong about librarians.
Sure. Yeah. I'm also voting for Upright Women Wanted. I've read other Sarah Gailey before and really enjoyed them. There was a River of Teeth, where it's like a heist and they ride hippos, which was excellent. So I feel like probably the pulp aspect will be spot on, and I would enjoy it.
Excellent. I will say it works out nicely that I'm a little bit torn between Spear and The Mushroom at the End of the World. I feel like The Mushroom at the End of the World, the concept just intrigued me right away. Like, I looked up the mushroom as soon as you mentioned the concept behind the title. I was like, oh, I want to know more about this super rare mushroom. But I also am not a super quick nonfiction reader. So I think I will give it to Spear, because I have also never read anything by Nicola Griffith, and I feel like I have been meaning to for like a decade now. So I would be happy to start here.
Great. So to our listeners, you can go to the show notes or social media places for us, and you will find a link to where you can vote. You cannot vote on Twitter this year because of reasons, but there will be a link to where you can vote. So please vote only once. And several years ago, we had someone vote more than once, and we saw this, and we eliminated all those votes. We will do the same thing again. Please vote only once. And then we will read this book in a couple months. It will be out in September? Yeah, September. The episode where we all read this book will be out in September. When will voting close? I don't know.
Announcement to come later in the episode.
It'll be like a couple of weeks from now. You know, like try to vote by the end of July is what I will say. I think that's like at least 2 weeks. So I think that's reasonable.
Does this episode come out on my birthday?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, I guess.
Yes. So for Anna's birthday, please vote once. You don't have to vote for her book. Though maybe she
no,
wants
no, don't. Yeah, that is not valid reasoning. Just please vote. That would be great. We would really appreciate the vote interaction for my birthday. That would be great. But you can vote for whatever you want. Great. Or you want us to read, either because it's be interesting to hear our conversation or because it'd be interesting to hear us suffer.
I think, like, these all, I don't think we'll suffer through any of these.
I don't think we will either, but some of us will find some of them much more challenging than others.
Yes, definitely. So yeah, I guess pick the book your least favorite host would least like to read.
Ow.
Wow. What are we assuming about our listeners' relationship to the show?
Yeah. You know,
I was talking recently about manga that I didn't like with some people on a Discord server. And I mentioned that I read a lot of manga that I think is bad. And I don't read all of it. But like earlier this year, I got like 200 free volume ones from Kodansha, who are a major manga publisher. And I was explaining that I took all the titles that I'd gotten and I put them into a spreadsheet because etc. And I randomized it. And so then I just go through it like it's not even alphabetical order, it's now randomized. And so I go through and I'm like, oh, I'll read this one. And someone is like, wow, that's like, I understand like the name of your podcast better now based on how you choose to read things. And they were like, they just made a reference to me being a masochist, like very dismissive. And I'm like, nobody else knows what you're talking about at all.
But also, that is such a Matthew way to do reading of things. Just like such an incredibly Matthew way.
Anyway, I read the first chapters of a lot of like high school romance comics that are 1,000,000% not for me. So I think they're all mostly all awful. Thankfully, we're not doing that. So that is not the book we will read. We're not going to read a shoujo romance manga title for the podcast, at least not yet. I'm sure.
But I think you now have to put that as an option for people to pick on there.
No.
No, you just have to make sure it's in the list of romance subgenres.
Yeah.
It is. It's already in the romance genre subgenre
okay,
list.
Okay, then.
Great.
And the thing is, like, if I was looking for stuff, I would find something that I liked. It's just that because I'm reading, like, whatever was given to me for free, that I'm reading a lot of stuff that I wouldn't, like, based on the descriptions, that I would never look at. But yeah, that's how I read, like, an idiot. So.
A coworker today showed me a manga that was, like, forget the title, but it was something about a cursed princess, and it had three princesses on the cover, and one was just a zombie.
That sounds much better.
Yeah, it seemed like it was mostly just like a cute rom-com-y, like zombie trying to find somebody to marry.
A rom zombie.
Oh boy! Thank you for listening. book club for masochists. I'm not even looking at the thing. Where is he?
Did any of us have any other long list titles we wanted to mention, or are we good?
Any honorable mentions to shout out?
Somehow I managed to put a play on my list and didn't realize it until today. So I think I'm going to go see the play instead of recommending it. So it's called Women of the Fur Trade by Frances Concan. And it's described as a historical satire based during the time in which the fur trade was a big part of British Canada's functioning. So I'm looking forward to that.
Huh, that's interesting.
Oh, I was going to mention something from Megan's list also, which I was really hoping you would pick because I would have been like a big cheerleader for When Women Were Dragons by Kelly Barnhill, which is like a historical fantasy or alternate history, 1950s plus women turning into dragons.
I wrote down The Mass Dragoning of 1955.
Yes.
It just sounds amazing.
I have a coworker who like raves about it, who like was going on, like there was just a week where she was recommending it to everybody. And also Kelly Barnhill and I used to follow each other on Twitter, and it has been really cool to follow her career and see her like for you know, since I joined Twitter, which was like in 2008. So it's been really cool following her career and seeing her release some great books. And I would love to read that one.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to narrow this down.
Well, then the one that I will mention is Friday Black. And because I didn't know I was going to mention this one, I did not go look up how to pronounce their name. So forgiveness requested here, please. Nana Kwame Ajay Brenya, I believe is the how you might possibly pronounce that author's name. It's a series of short stories on cultural unrest and racism. And the reason that Matthew and I actually are both familiar with this is because we watch a YouTuber. What else would you call somebody who does that for?
YouTuber, yes.
A vlogger?
Who is it?
I get, yeah. I just like, it just seems so weird to call them after a company's name.
Perhaps a video essayist.
Yeah, video essayist. Anyways, a video essayist, yes, named Jacob Geller, who does like video game and
media.
Video game, yeah, media commentary videos that are just sometimes just absolutely fantastic. Sometimes covers like horror, or covers other aspects of media. Like one of the ones that I can think back to is about, art. What was that art one that was so good? Something about art museums and being afraid of art.
I don't remember.
It was so good. We'll be in the show notes. Anyways, so he recommended that and he just spoke so highly of it and described it so well. And it influenced one of the video essays that I watched from him that I thought was really good. So I thought I would also be really interested to read these stories and get that experience.
I think we've both read books that he's recommended and enjoyed.
So. Yeah.
So clearly he's the answer to which celebrity book club.
Oh, there we go.
We found the answer.
Yep.
Apparently it is Jacob Geller.
Yep.
It's a YouTuber that none of you have heard
of. I know,
of.
I was going to say, what level of celebrity did we go for here?
It's his job, like, so
I
sure.
I mean, yes, but like...
I just went and subscribed to him so that I can remember to check him out later.
Yeah, the videos are really more about like thematic aspects of video games than a lot of other things. I think they're interesting.
Yeah, he does like a end of year, like best of video games one. And that's the one that's often most video game related, although he's done some recently that are explicitly like looking back at a certain video game or another. But yeah, has done a lot of really great thematic ones that I like.
Okay. So I realized after recording that I had some extra thoughts about stuff that I should have, you know, context and things that that the listeners might find interesting, because I edit the podcast, I get to record this and include it. And because you live with me, you get to be involved with it as well.
Woo!
Yes, I know. It's so exciting.
Yes.
So the first thing is that last year, the book I chose, I also chose a nonfiction book last year. Last year, I chose Shady Characters, The Secret Life of Punctuation, Symbols, and Other Typographical Marks. And I actually read that book a couple months ago. So I did eventually get around to reading it because you owned it, because I think you bought it because...
I bought it because you recommended, or because you had it on your list of things to possibly read last year. And I thought it sounded interesting.
And it was an interesting book, but I'm glad I didn't win.
Oh?
I don't think it would have been an interesting discussion.
Oh.
I don't think it's the sort of nonfiction books that leads to a discussion that would be interesting to our listeners. And so I think this year, the one I chose is a much more narrative and leads to a lot more discussion. It's a lot more about people, I guess, than a book that was about, like, you know, how people started using quotation marks. So I think, so this year, the having one more focused on people might help. Though I'm saying this, and your book is about mushrooms.
Yeah.
So who knows, really?
Well, but mine's also about, like, capitalism.
True.
Which is people.
True. But I said, like, I'm sure there could have been a good discussion, but I don't know. Like, I feel like it might not have been as good an episode. So we'll see. The other thing I remembered is that one of the books that was on my long list, the one fiction thing on my long list, was, very different. The one fiction pick I had was a comic, a graphic novel, which was the first volume of the New Teen Titans by Marv Wolfman and George Perez from 1980. Well, like, I guess the comics are from 1980, because the collection would have been from much later. You're at least aware of who the Teen Titans are.
Yes. We've right. watched whatever the new Titans Go stuff is.
Yes, right. So it's completely unlike that. it has some of the same characters, many of the same characters, but it was from the 1980s, and it was a very, very popular superhero series in the 1980s. And I honestly thought it would be fun to do something like weird like that, but also it was supposed to be like a backdoor pilot in some ways. It'd be like, if we did that and it was successful, I could just like continue, because there's like a million volumes of that series that you could just do. But also, well, like, people didn't have access to the comic, which is the big problem. I realized I don't want to edit more podcasts.
Yeah, no, I don't think you do.
I actually really would love to do that. I think it would be really interesting to do, but I want someone else to edit it for me.
Uh-oh, we're going to find an editor for you now.
Well, like, I also, like, need to find, like, the right people to do a podcast like that with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it would be, I don't know, so finding the other people to do that. I think it would be an interesting one to do, just because I do enjoy listening to podcasts that are like reread podcasts for comics, for long running comic series. I think they're really interesting and fun. And I really enjoy reading along with them. And so I would like to do my own someday. I'll do it. And New Teen Titans is one that is very influential, but also apparently got really weird, in the 90s.
Didn't all comics get weird in the 90s?
Like, you could honestly say that about any decade to some extent, but I've only ever read scattered issues of the series as a whole. And so I thought it would be an interesting one to read more of, and an opportunity to read more of it.
Well, how about this suggestion? Next year, for our proposals for one read, one podcast, they all have to be graphic novels.
We'll see. No.
No?
Well, maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I think it'd be fun if we all read a graphic novel and we all pick different ones.
Sure. The problem then is finding one that I haven't read.
Okay, that's your problem, though, because you got to pitch it.
Well, like, you all have to find ones that I haven't read.
Oh, true. I'm pretty sure I can do it.
Okay.
You don't read the same sort of things that I'm interested in.
Oh, that's even worse. We're so far off the
topic
we're now.
Let's go into that outro, please.
I'm starting. I asked Ian to stop feeding the cats so I could start. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Club for Masochists. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show, subscribe so you never miss an episode, and consider giving us a positive rating and or review. And if you've already done that, thanks for doing that.
Damn, did you mention Stitcher?
Yeah, I did. It is closing down at the end of the month, but I think when this comes out, it will still be around.
For all our URLs and social media accounts, the 4 in our name is a numeral. You can go to our website at bookclub4m.com, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/bookclub4m, and find us on Instagram at bookclub4m. Our email address is bookclub4m@gmail.com.
On our website, you can find show notes that will provide links to things we mentioned, social media info for everyone who appeared on this episode, and our genre-based book lists of titles by authors of color.
You can suggest a genre or a title for us to read, or request a recommendation from us. We have a form you can fill out. No promises on reading your suggestion, but we will give you a recommendation.
All opinions are our own and do not reflect our places of employment, if they exist.
Our theme music is To Arrakis by Dark Sun from the Free Music Archive.
New episodes are the first and third Tuesday of every month.
Join us again on Tuesday, August 1st. We'll be discussing the fiction genre of pulp.
Then on Tuesday, August 15th, we'll be talking about other media we've been enjoying recently. Books, video games, YouTube videos.
Noodles.
Media update. Noodles.
And remember to please go and vote for which book you would like us all to read. You can read it too. You don't have to, but you can.
Read-alongs are encouraged.